We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Tonight, I want to introduce to you a brother that I've just been making acquaintance with, getting to know him and connect with him. I love what he's doing. I'm excited about how God is using him. He has been serving with Word of Life in Brazil. Now, you need to understand the Word of Life overseas and the Word of Life here is very different. They are, in essence, the same Word of Life, but how they do things and the way they kind of operate in that culture. Many of you know Thiago and Erica, right? Missionaries sent right out of this church. Well, they know them. His name is Pastor Ivan, and I can't say his last name because I don't speak Brazil. I've been calling him Ivan the Great and Ivan the Terrible and all these other names we were at dinner. But he and his wife, Virginia, are here. He's going to come challenge us from the Word of God, and then he's going to talk a little bit about what he's doing in Brazil. So would you make him welcome as he comes tonight?
Hello, good evening, everyone. So good to be with you here, myself and my wife. And we are thankful for Suenia and Eric, too. That was good friends. Suenia, we studied together at the Bible Institute with Virginia, and she came here, she got married. Virginia was here in her marriage, and now we are here sharing a little bit about our ministry and also about what God wants to tell us today. So I'm going to make a little change here. I'm going to go there first, okay? That is our family, Virginia and I in the center. On the left side is our older son, Ivan. We are very creative in Brazil, right? My father is Ivan, I'm Ivan, my son is Ivan. So I don't know if my grandson is going to be Ivan too, or it needs to be son, not daughter. And that is our daughters-in-law. On the left, it's Leticia, Ivan's wife, and Camila is going to become his Samuel's wife in April. They're getting married in April, so it's going to be very nice. They live in Pennsylvania. They are starting, Ivan finishing in Lancaster Bible College in May, and Samuel is finishing December in Clark Summit. So both are here in the United States. Next? That is our region. You can see there, Recife. And we have an extension in Teresina that is around 1,000 miles from us. This is the Northeast in red. We are responsible for 9 states out of the 27 that our country have. And it's around 53 million people living on those 9 states. Brazil, it's over 200 million. We got 53. 20 million are young people. That is our focus. We are in the Northeast since 1973. So now we are working not just with the teens and the youth. We are working also with the parents and some grandparents. Because when George Tice, I don't know if you know him, George Tice, he started Word of Life in Recife. He went to São Paulo, and from São Paulo, he went to Recife, and his son was the director there after a while. For 18 years, I served under him for 11 years, and now I have the privilege to be leading the ministry since 2006. So it's a great blessing for me. I'm from Recife. I grew up at Word of Life, going there since I was 6 years old, and it's a great blessing to preach to my people, to tell my people about the gospel. And we have a lot still to do on people that don't know Christ. People that know Christ but doesn't know how to serve him, how to grow in him. And churches that need to have better leadership. We got a lot of churches there, but they are having a lot of necessities on the leadership and how to better preach the word. So we pray for that. Our team, it's 30 missionaries full-time. We have 7 interns that it lives with us, and many volunteers. BTS means Bible teach at the schools, especially the public schools. The camp staff, people that's going to help us in January camp season, that is our summer, and July camp season, that is our winter. We have 2 times vacation for the school, It's not like here. We have school from February to November. Someone stay to December. Then we have vacation January and July. Next. Okay. This is one of our ministries. It's a great opportunity. You see there is a Bible teaching at schools. We go to the public schools and have the opportunity to preach the gospel there, to present God's word right there in the classrooms. And they are open for us, not for the church itself, because they see the church as some bad examples that would be bad for them. But as a Word of Life, as a youth ministry, we do some fun things, we do some attractions, and we share with them God's word. So we are serving 11 schools right now and 4 municipalities. That is very important. We are growing, and we reach around 2,307 kids per week. We can go to the classroom and teach whatever you want. We cannot pray or give the invitation. Sometimes we do, but they don't know the rules, so it's okay. And whatever the Lord's lead, sometimes we look at there and some teachers say, hey, you can't do that. Oh, but it was so nice, the Spirit were leading, and we pray. I said, okay, but be careful. The Bible Institute, we have 43 students. Now we got 3 years program. We got a 1 year program that we call gap year. Right after you finish your high school, we recommend you to go to the Bible Institute to have a year of Bible teaching and deepening in the faith, and you can get better prepared to face university, college. In Brazil, at least, we see 70% of our youth leaving their faith, get away from the church because they are in the university, especially the public universities. And it's so important for them to get more time, you know, exercising their faith, learning from the Bible, and living in a ministry that emphasizes not just studying, but life, how to live God's word, and also ministry, going to a church and apply what they're learning. We have 2 other opportunities in the Bible Institute. LTC is a leadership training center. We go to the churches, not the church come to us for the Bible Institute, but we go to the churches and we are training them on leadership, on how to study God's word. And the other one is BCC, that is the Biblical Counseling course. We are telling them the sufficiency of the scripture, how important it is to understand that the Bible is sufficient for any necessity that we might have. This is the word of God, and we got to explain that to the people. And it's a great privilege. Bible clubs, it's a ministry that we are in the churches doing a partnership of training leaders, emphasize evangelism and discipleship, and has been very nice. We are very excited with that ministry. Once we have just a couple from the Bible Institute graduating in December that is going to be working full time with this ministry, emphasizing the local church. And the last one, the oldest one, is the camp. We have 9 weeks during the year that we serve the people that comes, if they are saved or not, they are belong to a church or not. They are welcome to come to the camp, and we see a lot of people trusting their faith in the Lord and consecrate their lives if they are Christians, consecrate some areas of their lives in the ministry there. And we are working also with the volunteers to work there. So we train them during the semester, and they can go and help us in July or in January. So it's a great tool too. This is one of our necessities, God's empowerment for missionary staff. The end of the year, they are tired, they are busy as well, but their strength is going down. Bible Institute is finishing for the first year, in the third year now, and they really need our prayers to help them to finish well, not just to start well, but to finish well. Financial challenge since last March of last year. We had some partners that drop our ministry and was a big impact financially for us. So this is why we are here. We are visiting churches and talk to individuals and pastors to see their if they can invest a little bit in Brazil, and new churches and individuals to connect with us in the U.S., not just can help financially in praying especially, but also going there and helping us. I already talked to Pastor Todd to go to be with us and teach in the Bible Institute, give a seminar for the pastors, and we have a lot of things to do there. So he's welcome to come and help us. And more volunteers to help in the outreach ministries. We can't do everything. So we need help. And the help is in the churches. We got to go there and challenge the people. And we pray that and ask your prayers that more and more people can volunteer themselves to help. If you know, have an ability of being in front of a classroom and teach 45 minutes a Bible lesson, excellent. We have a opportunity for you. If you can be, you know, evangelizing, helping others, sending kids to the camp, whatever it's your ability, we would like to have more people involved there so you could pray for us. And future missionaries full-time for the ministry opportunities. We have a lot of opportunities. Brazil has been rich from this country many, many years ago. Missionaries went to Brazil and established the ministry there, but we still have a lot to do. I can go in my car an hour, 100 kilometers, what would be 50-some miles, and you can find people that never heard about the gospel. You can just go there and ask, who is Jesus for you? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm new in the neighbor. I don't know where he lives. Maybe you can talk to another person and ask them, you know, where this man lives. And it's incredible. It's incredible. But it's unending ministry that until we meet the Lord or he comes back, we got to keep going, keep doing. That's right. So this is one of our necessities. Any other slide? No, just these three people, it's fine. You can cut that. Thank you. I'm going to go and open the Bible in Psalms 51. My brother was leading the worship here and mentioned about Psalm 51. So thank you for the music, the songs, and the introduction. It was very good. Pastor Todd to introduce the team. And unfortunately, I have a problem, technical problem. And I would like to show you the slides that I brought, but something happened. I don't know, maybe it was my stick drive that didn't, I don't know. I want that you imagine. I want that you imagine. I can't show you, so I want that you imagine. Relationship. We talk to people, we train people, we tell people to build bridges to other people. It's a nice example and an illustration of relationship. It's building bridges. And all my slides were showing some bridges. And the challenge of establishing a relationship with God. I cannot talk to you as a general because each one of you has your own personal relationship with God. So I don't know where is your level of relationship with God. I don't know what is the intensity of your relationship with God right now. But I understand from God's word that each one of us need to have an intimacy relationship with the Lord. Doesn't matter what age you are. You can understand that, and you can live that. If you are young, you're a teenager, if you are an adult, if you're a senior, you need to understand that you need to have a real relationship with God. And we see a lot of examples in the Bible about that. And one of these examples that it's brings me a lot of attention because King David looked like a lot King David. When I was younger, I didn't sin just for once. I would sin in series. One sin would follow in another sin and would fall in another sin. And this looked like the life of David. When he was supposed to be in battle, he stays. He went and out and he saw something that he shouldn't see. And he went there and commit adultery. And because of that adultery, he commit murder. And after that was a big mess in his life. And Psalm 51, it's the moment that David comes and did a prayer of confession. We can base and see the text in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But using Psalm 51, we can see here the David showing his relationship with God with the intimacy that I would like to have. I don't want his sin, but I want to have the intimacy that David shows in God's word. We see here God bringing the verse 1 and verse 2, the side of God's proposing to David. And we see here he's showing merciful God. He's showing loving God. He's showing compassionate God. If you look to the verses, I would like to read for you. I hope you understand my English. I understand my English perfectly, but I hope you are understanding too, so keep with me, please. Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." So David starts to show three things from God: his mercy, his love, and his compassion. His mercy is the reason why we are here still. If it wasn't his mercy, this is what the Bible says, every single morning we wouldn't be here. Start with his mercy. David shows that he knows God. And he's confessing because he knows that God is a merciful God. Many of you have children. And we face a youth ministries in Brazil that many times the kids are afraid to talk to their parents. Sometimes because they are prideful, but sometimes they don't feel that their parents are mercifully sufficient for them. You'll not be forgiven. They're not going to be understand. And what a great example for us from David to start saying, "Mercy, have mercy on me." And he continues to say that unfailing love, according to unfailing love. His love is the start point for us in everything that comes into existence. You are here because someone loved you so much that told you about him. If it wasn't that, you wouldn't be understanding that. Those disciples that took the message of Jesus to the world, their motivation was God's love. Was Jesus explaining to them how God loved him and that they need to love Jesus and God the way that he loves. And Jesus says that he loves into the end. He had people that betrayed him, denied, forgot. But the disciples were there with their difficulties. They were humans. But they understand that everything was based on his love. And he finishes with compassion, God. His compassion, it's what justifies his actions. When Jesus was found a multitude. He saw them as without, they were lost as they didn't have a pastor. And he had compassion. He would do everything he could because he loved, he had mercy, but he felt the other side, what that person was having. And I admire a lot this country because this country helped the world financially praying without knowing the other side. But this is getting smaller and smaller. This compassion is not being passed for the next generations. And it's something that David knew, that God was compelled by compassion. This is why he confesses. This is why he goes to him and starts with that. Because the other side of the coin is not good news. It's not a good news. David brought to him transgression, iniquity, and sin. God brings to the table mercy, love, and compassion. David brings to the table transgression, iniquity, and sin. Transgression is exceeding existing law. And in David's actions, in 2 Samuel, we see that he broke a lot of the commands, not just one. We see iniquity as a person that have behaved against the moral, the religion, the justice. Someone evil, someone bad, someone unjust. This means iniquity. And sin, we understand what sin means. He missed the target. But it's not just that. He hit the mistake. It's not just missed the target. He did very well the sin. And the sin became, brought him to another sin, to another sin. And he kept hitting the mistake, not just the missing the point. What a challenge for us to look to ourselves and understand who we are in the sight of the Lord. Do you understand that you are a sinner, you have iniquity, and have transgressions? God knows what He does to my life. I can speak about me. And He gave me a beautiful, wonderful wife that almost every day she comes to me and says, "Hey, Ivan, this needs to be taken care of. This is not that good." And even I'm knowing, being a pastor, a missionary, a leader in the ministry, we tend to forget who we are in the sight of the Lord. I am a sinner. I do some mistakes. And we got to learn that until we meet the Lord and have a new body, you're going to continue to do that. We can do less. We can do less, but we continue to have that. And these affect directly my relationship with Him. I can see in my time of serving as a camp staff that some camp seasons, I will not receive anything from God in heaven, because it was done all in my strength. wasn't done in the dependence in the Lord, wasn't done in His strength, wasn't done for His glory, was done for me, my abilities, my success. And I need to go to Him and understand that I need to fix that. The chapter continues, and we see from the verse 3 to the verse 6 a prayer of confession. We don't see here the answer of forgiveness, but in 2 Samuel we can see that. When Nathan goes to talk to him, he goes and he says right there, "I have sinned against God." And Nathan said to him that he was forgiven. This is why he wasn't going to be dead. And this is the difference between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice. When we are living sacrifice, we always want to go out of the altar. Try to get any animal to put to be sacrificed in some place. They're going to stay there waiting for you to come and kill. No, they want to get it out of there. They don't want to pay the price. And I admire the man that had the heart of God, because he doesn't excuse himself. He doesn't look for excuses. When Nathan said, "You sin," he said, "Yes. Yes, I did." This is what we see in the verse 4. "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." We see in the verse 3 that from his sin against God till now, it's around 1 year. The fruit of that sin, that child had died. And he's saying here, "For I know my transgressions and my sin, it's always before me." It's a heavy weight, keeping your sin up. It's a big thing. It's a big business. But it's hard for us to recognize and say that. So on the verse 4, we see him repeating the same thing that he said in the first verse 1 and 2. Transgression, sin, and evil as iniquity. And the verse 5, David goes into the beginning of his existence. And he says, "When I was in my mom's womb, I had sin. I am a sinner by nature. By nature." And you know, some parents, they try to justify sometimes, "Oh, he's so little, he doesn't understand, he can keep," and how to say this, boom, how do you say this action, slap, "Oh, he can slap the face of his mother or his father or his grandfather, it's okay, everybody laugh." And we are creating a little sinner, not having limits for some stuff. And those become bigger things later. And David, he recognized that he was a sinner from the beginning and he needed to give an end. And Jesus gives that. Because when he says that when he was in the mother's, how to say the word, the mother's womb, "You taught me wisdom in that secret place." The sin was there, but God was there too. God is there. We can be in the deep of our sin, in the deep of our iniquity, in the deep of our transgression, but God's still there. He doesn't forsake, he doesn't leave us. He continued with us. And he was there. And because he was there, David was crying out based on God's mercy and God's love and God's compassion. We see here he's saying, blow out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. And in the verse 7 to 12, we see David's petition for forgiveness and inner renewal. We can see on verse 10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We see here purification. We see here restoration. Always is going to be like that. After confession, we got to purify ourselves and restore ourselves. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 is something that is always going to be the way for us to, after confession, for us to do. The verse says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. First thing, to put off your old self. First thing, it's put off your old thing. Recognize what you are doing, what you have done. Second thing, verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. You got to renew your mind. And third thing, verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Always confession, put it out what was bad, remind your mind, put it in what is new from God, learning by his word. Verse 13 to 17, we see David's vows of praise, consecration. Verse 17 says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. It's consecration. Live a relationship with God. It's understanding my confession. Who is God? Who is me? Purification. Restoration. And we go to consecration. Broken heart. Broken heart. Broken, contrite heart. Better saying, broken spirit. What God needs to do for us to can have a result of broken spirit and broken heart from us. I have two sons, 25 and 22. And it has been a great privilege on this journey to be a father. I didn't have a father since I was 1 year old, my father left my home. When God wants to grab my attention, when he touched my son, I am already there. Broken spirit. Broken heart. Lord, my son, no. Tell me what you want. I'm ready to do it. But when we start to have a relationship with God, we don't need to go to that extreme. Just daily, through God's word, asking him to help us to be more intimate to him. Because the last thing that we see in verse 18, 19, he says his prayer for prosperity. And you see fruits, a fruitful ministry. But you say about Numbers, the beginning of the verse says, may it please you. Beginning of verse 19, he says, then you will delight in the sacrifices. Many times our emphasis is what to do. But in God's perspective, it's not what you do. It's who you are. What you should be. What to do, it's a consequence what you are. And it's much better. And it's much better. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, we see a lot of things that he has done. A lot of things. And sometimes I was curious. This man, he did so much. And he was fighting with his pride, his way to do ministry. And I was doing my quiet time one time, and it showed me one verse in Acts chapter 9. And I need to go to this verse here. Acts chapter 9, verse 16 especially. You can see 15, but verse 16. When Paul understand who Jesus was and what big mistake he did, this is what the Lord said to Ananias. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I'll show to Paul how much he needs to suffer for my name. This verse changed me the perspective of seeing 2 Corinthians 11, all he had suffered for for Jesus. To be able to have a relationship with the Lord, I gotta die for myself. And I gotta say, Jesus, you are the priority. I am willing, I'm ready to suffer, to pay the price, so the people can call me, hey, that is a Christian. You are a small Christ. Anywhere you are, we are small Christ. We are taking him, dying for ourselves, and are living now for the one that died for us. I hope we can get encouraged to continue this week seeking for the presence of the Lord, and we can more and more learn how to be a life sacrifice for the glory of God in this place here. That may the Lord bless you and help us. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.